This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what sucks about presidential elections? I don't matter. And depending on where you're watching me right now, you don't matter. Now, I should put a little disclaimer on that whole not matter thing. My vote, I live in Texas. My vote is not really going to be critical for this election. And if you live in most of our states, a solidly red or solidly blue state, that's most of our states, your vote, you should still vote because there are up and down ballot races that matter, but your vote is actually not something that's going to change anything. And that sucks to hear, doesn't it? Because I want to be involved. I want to matter. Don't you want to matter? I want to say in the election, but elections come down to swing states. And I don't live in one of those. Elections come down to Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. That's where the election will come down. Oh, but we might break off this, so we have to worry about that. That's what matters for presidential elections. Now, I need to pause on that before we get back to the presidential elections and say this. You really need to stay involved politically. There are so many more important elections than president. Every election matters. Go vote in all of them, legal, local, your state house, your city council. Every election matters, so you need to be involved. We're only talking about presidential politics here. Okay, so back to that. Swing states. How are we looking? What's the status of our swing states? Because this is an election we really need to win. And more specifically, this is an election we can't afford to lose. Well, there are ways of thinking and ways of looking at this. The most common way of thinking that I've seen so far in this election, and it's one I tend to agree with, is the Sun Belt states, the Arizonas, the Georgias, the North Carolina, I don't necessarily consider it Sun Belt, but anyway, the Sun Belt states are thought to be states where Trump, I don't want to use terms like has it in the bag, right? It's really not the term I want to use because I don't want people to get complacent, but Trump looks really, really good in those states. If he is able to swing those states, all he needs is one. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. All he needs is one. If he gets the Sun Belt states and gets any one of those three, he's president of the United States of America again. That's something we have to consider. Another thing we have to consider is Nevada. This is not a state, when it comes to presidential politics, that gets discussed a lot. And for me, most of my life, it's kind of been this odd place. When people think of Nevada, they think of Las Vegas, they think of gambling. They're not really tuned into the political situation there. Nevada has six electoral college votes. Would be nice to have those. Republicans have proven they can get elected there in statewide elections. Is this something that's in play? Look, we'll talk to Sean Spicer about that. You break off Nevada, it gives you some leeway with other states. This stuff matters. And when it comes to these swing states themselves, where are we at? How are we looking? Again, I'm nervous because I'm hopeful. Everything I hear right now sounds good. And I'm not just talking about things I see in the news or polls or when I hear about panic inside the Kamala Harris campaign, I tend to believe it. When I see this on CBS about warning lights in Georgia, that's something.
But while Joe Biden won this state in 2020,
so you're voting for Donald Trump,
there are warning lights for Kamala Harris.
I feel like he aligns more with America and American values than she does.
Isaac Simpson explained those Trump values while I made some gains on a delicious potato biscuit and omelet.
I just know that once you start doing away with things like the Second Amendment and altering it to your own, what you think is sensible, then it's a problem. Because then who's the arbiter of that?
Look, it's one guy. You never know, but I hear a lot of that stuff from Sunbelt states like Georgia. And let's go ahead and bank Georgia. Let's take Georgia and we'll put it in our little pocket right there. What about Wisconsin? How are they going to vote? Are they going to vote based on the economy and finances?
I want some more money in my pocket.
They vote their pocketbooks.
And who do you think's going to do that for you?
Trump, red all the way.
Again, it's one person, but it's something. Michigan. Now, be honest with you. I'm just being honest. I've written off Michigan. We'll talk to Tudor Dixon in a little while and Sean Spicer and see what they think about Michigan. I consider the place blue. Maybe I'm just so disgusted by that 2020 midterm election, the election of Gretchen Whitmer. Maybe that's tainted Michigan for me. Maybe it's my natural hatred for Michigan because I was born in Ohio. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Lady running for Senate in Michigan, she thinks there might be trouble.
This is I'm not feeling my best right now about where we are on Kamala Harris in a place like Michigan right now. We have her underwater in our polling.
She's underwater in Michigan? I'm trying not to get giddy. But Donald Trump wins Michigan in the Sunbelt states. He's the president. And that, of course, leads us to the state we're probably focused on the most, Pennsylvania. How are things looking?
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
He got shot in the head in Pennsylvania. Does that affect the vote? It has to, right? And that moment, that's why we played it for you again. That's a moment that's going to last, that's going to resonate in people's minds. I am doing the thing I tend to do every election. I'm getting hopeful. But it's all about the swing states. It's all about the Michigans, the Pennsylvanias, Virginia. Virginia might be in play. We'll talk some Virginia. Georgia's, Arizona's, Nevada's. There's a lot to unpack. Me, I'm in Texas. My state's decided. It's the swing states that matter, and it's the swing states we shall focus on beginning right about now. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Scott Pressler is parked in that state of Pennsylvania. Let's talk to him about it. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure?
from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The swing states. Elections are won by swing states, presidential elections anyway, and there is no more important state this election cycle than the state of Pennsylvania, my old stomping grounds. I still have all kinds of family in that state. I love the state, but it's a state that can blow a bunch of different directions and frustrate us to no end. Scott Pressler, to his credit, realized that and has planted his butt in that state to try to win it for us. Joining me now, founder of Early Vote Action, my friend Scott Pressler. Okay, Scott, don't blow sunshine on me. You know what I'm talking about. How are we doing in Pennsylvania? Are we getting our teeth kicked in? Are we coming back? What's the deal?
Well, objectively, Jesse, you know, Michael Pressman, I think his name is, he posted the voter registration data for the last month for states all across the nation. And Republicans actually in Pennsylvania added more Republican voters than even the state of Florida in the last 30 days in PA. And we are out-registering the Democrats 2-1. And furthermore, the Democrats are actually down 430,000 mail-in ballots from where they were 4 years ago at the same time. So the voter registration numbers, Jesse, look good. The mail-in ballot numbers look good. However, I have broken two election integrity stories, Jesse. The first one, that the Luzerne County Board of Elections is backlogged with thousands of unprocessed voter registration and mail-in ballot applications. That's story number one. The story number two was during the historic Trump-Butler rally, you know, the Pennsylvania Department of State scheduled maintenance on that day. And we uncovered that and made sure that the website was going to be up and running even during Trump's rally. Now, the third thing, and I know I'm taking a lot of time, but this is important. I have heard that Board of Elections are telling voters that there is no early voting in Pennsylvania. That is a lie. That is not true. And if you go to your Board of Election by beginning on October 15th, ask with this language that I'm about to tell you, you're going to request an on-demand, in-person mail-in ballot. And if anybody tells you that there is no early voting, you pull out your phone, you record it, and you send it to your buddy that has 1.7 million followers on X, and we will make that very public to the rest of the nation.
On-demand, in-person. Remember the language you used. On-demand, in person. Okay, Scott. All right. Now, there's something that fascinates me. What motivates people to vote? Kamala Harris has famously been against fracking, for fracking. Well, here she is.
I wanted to ask you, there's a political ad on TV from a 2019 Climate Hall town meeting that you had, in which you basically said, quote, "There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking," unquote. The ad claims that if you're elected president, you will ban fracking and you will cost Pennsylvania over 300,000 jobs. Have you changed your view on fracking? And if so, why?
So let me start by saying that that ad, as you described it, is absolutely a mischaracterization that I think is intended to make people afraid of my presidency. And let me be absolutely clear, as I've been when I said it back in 2020. I will not ban fracking. I did not as vice president. In fact, I cast the tie-breaking vote to open up more fracking leases. And my perspective on this is grounded in a number of things.
Scott, you are the one here registering people in Pennsylvania. Are these people registering because they are in love with Donald Trump or because they are angry at the state of the country, Joe Biden specifically? Are they disgusted by Kamala Harris? Those comments, what are people saying to Scott Pressler when they're punching their name on the Republican voter registration ticket?
Well, I think it's everything, Jesse. Look, at the end of the day, people are afraid of a Kamala Harris presidency. She'll stack the Supreme Court. She'll make DC a 51st state. She'll take away our opportunity to ever have conservative Supreme Court justices, conservative judicial appointments. She'll keep that border open. She'll give 30 million illegal alien citizenship. She'll expand DACA. She'll continue to get us into World War III and beyond. She will send young men and women into war. She'll continue to increase our inflation, and we're not going to be able to afford homes and cars and gas and groceries. And at the same time, that's why people are registering to vote for President Donald Trump. Under Donald Trump, we did not have new war. We had peace. Under Donald Trump, we had a secure border, and now it's open. Under Donald Trump, we had more jobs. It was easier to afford groceries and everything else. So really, there is no more stark contrast between the 4 years of President Trump and the 4 years now under the feckless and dangerous policies of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And I think that's why we're seeing Democrats switch to Republican by three times more than Republicans are switching to Democrat, and why we're seeing double the amount of people registering to vote as Republican than Democrat. Pennsylvania wins the White House, guys. Usually you see a bubbly, fun Scott. This is a serious Scott because our country is on the line. You have until October 21st to register to vote. Make sure that you are meeting that deadline and make sure that you are making a plan to vote on Tuesday, November 5th for Donald Trump and our entire Republican ticket.
Scott, Pennsylvania has a huge Amish population. Tell me about Amish voters. I'm well familiar with Amish people. Those are my people. My Grandpa Hank, rest in peace, Grandpa Hank. That was his side of the family. So I spent a bunch of time with Amish people in Pennsylvania. They certainly look at life differently. They operate differently. Do they vote? Who do they vote for? Has Scott Pressler been out there eating Amish butter? Who are these people?
We are courting the Amish vote here in Pennsylvania. I want to make it very clear. Democrat Governor Shapiro is waging a war on the Amish, on raw milk, on dairy, on farming, school choice, on religious freedom, on small businesses, on the opportunity to afford to have large families. And so we are going out to the sawmills, to the dairy farms. I just got a list of thousands of Amish addresses that my organization, Early Vote Action, is going to be reaching out to, is going to be courting those votes and giving them voter registration applications. Again, the last day to register to vote is October 21st.
Scott, okay, now if people want to help, because people do want to help, they oftentimes can feel helpless. I'm sitting here in Texas. Yes, we have to vote, we have to get involved, but I have a red state. Donald Trump's going to win my state. I can't help Scott Pressler in Pennsylvania win the state that's going to win the White House, right?
Absolutely, that is not true. Look, if you live in California, Massachusetts, Alabama, Tennessee, you're in a red state, you're in a blue state, you can download my application, Early Vote Action. It's on Android, it's on iPhone. You can text people, you can call them, you can write postcards. We have a Jewish campaign up since we had the remembrance of October 7th, the travesty that Kamala Harris via Iran funded Hamas, funded the attacks, the terrorist attacks against Israel and the Jewish people. We also have a pro-peace campaign that is reaching out to young men that are 18 to 35 with a pro-peace, anti-war message that, again, Kamala is going to send young men and women to fight for wars that we didn't have under President Trump. There is something for everyone. There is no excuse why everybody at home can't do their part to help make sure that we are electing Donald Trump and our entire Republican ticket this November.
All right, real quick, before I let you go, Scott, I do have to ask. Philadelphia, what do we say to all the people screaming at you and me at the television right now saying none of this matters because Philly's a dirty place, is going to find the cheating votes they need? What do we say to those people?
Well, I say to those people respectfully, you're a part of the problem. If you at home are shouting at me to do more, I mean this respectfully, what are you doing at home? What are you doing to save our country? Are you registering voters? Are you knocking on doors? Are you talking to your neighbors? Are you registering and making a plan to vote on Tuesday, November 5th? With all due respect, stop waiting for Jesse Kelly and Scott Presser to save the world. We need you at home to help save our country. 25% of Philadelphia wins this election, wins the White House. 40% of Allegheny County, Pittsburgh wins the White House. We need to up our vote in Erie County and Northampton County. And by doing that, by simply winning 25% of Philadelphia for Donald Trump, meaning we lose 75% of Philly, we win Pennsylvania, guys.
Scott Pressler, go help. Let's go win. Scott, I appreciate it. All right. Tudor Dixon, she's planted in Michigan. Now, I've kind of written Michigan off as a blue state. Seems to go that way. I realize Trump won it in 2016, but they reelected Gretchen Whitmer. It's done, right? But Tudor Dixon doesn't seem to think it's done. Let's see if she has anything to say. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever go out when you were younger, single, and you were looking for, I don't know, the opposite sex, somebody to make out with, and you ended up in some place and there was this really, really, really hot one, and that's the one you wanted, but she had a five right next to her, and you knew that there was a chance that was one you were going to have to go for if it didn't work out? Well, that's what Michigan is in this election cycle. That's what Michigan always is, that filthy place, because I grew up an Ohio State fan. But as it pertains to the election, Pennsylvania, it's all we can talk about on the Republican ticket. Where are we in Pennsylvania? Let's win Pennsylvania. But Trump did win the five last time. Well, in 2016, he did win Michigan. Joining me now, representing that five, Tudor Dixon, host of the Tudor Dixon podcast. Tudor, no one talks about Michigan. I don't know. Maybe we've written it off as a commie hellhole. But can we win there anymore?
We can. Yeah, absolutely. Michigan is definitely still winnable. It's always very close. It's going to be very close this time. This time is a little bit different because there are different issues plaguing Democrats in Michigan. So I think you'll see that there's a bit of an argument over where the Arab American community will fall in Michigan, because they're actually fairly conservative, but obviously there are issues over with what's going on in the Middle East, and that is really dragging them back and forth between both candidates.
Yeah, they hate Jews. How big of a voting population is that in Michigan? It obviously, when you watch Democrats and that, how they try to walk that October 7th tightrope, it's obvious they think the Arab American, Muslim American population is a significant voting bloc.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I think that they also know that they made decisions in the administration that ultimately led to people in both sides of this crisis losing their lives. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if we're being very honest right now, the Biden-Harris administration, had they not given this money, had they not lifted these sanctions, had they not allowed Iran to have the money that they had that then funded this terror operation, that there wouldn't be the casualties we've seen on both sides of this war. And so if we're being honest in Michigan, I mean, these people have to understand that this death and destruction, it directly came from the White House.
Okay, well, setting aside the holy war going on in that state, what about the rest of it? I look at the election results of your election. Sorry not to tear at an old wound, but I look at that and I was mortified. I was mortified that night. I just couldn't believe my eyes. How could this happen? But I just wrote Michigan off after that. You're telling me not to. Why?
No, because I believe that, I mean, Michigan is one of those states that has gone Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat. We had the lost years of our previous governor, who is now the energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm. Then we went to a Republican and Rick Snyder, ended up bouncing back to Gretchen Whitmer. And now we will have another lost decade under Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, this is actually significantly worse than what we saw during the Granholm years. We're at a point now where we've lost so many jobs. We have so few businesses left in the state of Michigan. The energy grid is a disaster. The lights continuously go out in people's homes. I mean, it really is a total mess. And the education system has fallen to the bottom five, I think, in the nation right now. And I believe they just passed something saying that parents can't FOIA to find out what the curriculum is in schools. So while we have failing schools, parents aren't allowed to ask, what is that going on? Why aren't our kids learning? That's the state of Michigan right now. And ultimately, I think people will say, okay, we've had enough. We want someone who's going to be actually really leading the state.
How's Gretchen Whitmer hung on to power as long as she had there? It's not just, you know, the winning re-election back into the governor's mansion. She governs like she's in California, but as you've just pointed out, Michigan is not California. So how?
Most of the time she is in California these days. I mean, I don't think she's been in the state for very long since she wrote her book that's about 3 pages long. So I think that's probably why she's governing that way. But honestly, she's not governing at all at the moment. And I think that's what the people of Michigan are starting to realize. I don't know if you've seen this, Jesse, but she's doing these bizarre videos every day. Just over the weekend, she did one with Governor Pritzker, and they were doing this back and forth where they're dressing up in their different team uniforms, and she throws a ball at him, and they think this is very playful, and she thinks she's being adorable. Like, what is going on? So for a long time, I think people said she wants to be president. And I think there was a hot moment where she was like, okay, after Joe Biden gets kicked out of the race, I'll be the candidate. And then I don't know if she went a little crazy after that, like, oh, they didn't choose me. So she decided that she was going to go for that, like, Ricky Lake talk show host. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, is she wants to go back to the days of Jerry Springer or something.
Well, you know what? Sign me up for that. I had such a blast watching Springer when I was younger. Tudor, do you have an ice maker at your house?
I don't have the issues that you have, but yeah, I do have an ice maker.
A portable one like I do?
No, it's not. It just is in the refrigerator. It doesn't wake me up. It doesn't, like, haunt my dreams.
Okay. Well, I was checking, just seeing where you were in life and how things were going with the show and all that. Okay, back to Michigan. We always talk about the auto workers unions and these guys as if, look, from the outside looking in, people look at that as the voting bloc in Michigan. Is it? Is it like, are they this juggernaut that you have to win them to win the state? What are they as it pertains to Michigan?
Well, the majority of the state is somehow connected to the auto industry, because even if you work in a restaurant in one of the towns that has a factory, you know, that restaurant is populated by the people who work at the factory. And if you work out in the suburbs, then those businesses are generally tier one, tier two, tier three suppliers to the auto industry. So it's bigger than just the auto workers union, because most people in the state of Michigan have some connection to the auto industry. So of course it's very important. But what people are seeing in the state of Michigan is, look, we are people who assemble vehicles. That's what we do. We have vehicle plants. Our vehicle assembly plants are leaving. They're going to Tennessee, they're going to Kentucky, and we're not getting new ones. As these manufacturers are building new plants to manufacture vehicles, we're getting plants to manufacture batteries, and they're coming from China. And it doesn't look like they're going to have a lot of jobs. And so as we hear Biden and Whitmer and Harris come out and say, we want to mandate electric vehicles, and Harris has absolutely said she wants to mandate electric vehicles, we're not going to be manufacturing vehicles anymore in the state of Michigan. We're going to be manufacturing electric batteries, which is not our forte, which is not what people in the state are used to. It's not like jobs are interchangeable like that. I know Biden thinks you can close down a pipeline and, oh, don't worry, they're all going to build solar panels for $12 an hour. These jobs are not interchangeable. These are skilled positions. And so the auto workers actually see that. They look at this and they go, oh my gosh, our jobs are leaving, and I don't necessarily want to work with these batteries that are filled with corrosive materials that can burn right through your arm and we've never dealt with before. I mean, these are truly changes in the manufacturing process that's not our expertise, and that our expertise we see leaving. So the auto workers are saying, well, wait a minute, maybe EVs are not the answer. Maybe we want someone who's going to support gas-powered vehicles and make sure that our industry actually survives.
Tudor, the auto industry, I hear about how angry these workers are. You just pointed it out. How have they traditionally voted? This seems like it would be a union Democrat voting bloc, but it's so obvious for someone like me that Democrats have declared war on their industry. You just laid out the results of it. Is there some sort of an anti-Democrat rebellion with these people in Michigan?
Well, you hear it. You hear rumblings of it, certainly. There are people who have come to us and said that. I actually was out in my yard the other day and a woman stopped me and said, I just want you to know that I worked for the auto industry my entire life. I've been a member of the union. And about 10 years ago, they started calling me at my house and saying, this is how you'll vote. She said it was the first time they honestly said, this is how you will vote. There, you have no choice. She said, that's when I started to get suspicious about my union dues. But I mean, it's the same thing with the teachers union. And I think that one's even more damaging. I don't think public unions should be allowed to give money to candidates, because ultimately our taxpayer dollars are going to the teachers, who are forced to pay it to the union. And then the union elects people we don't want in office. It's outrageous. These public unions should not be allowed to take all of their members' money and donate it to Democrat candidates who then ultimately hurt them.
What's the worst part about living in Michigan? Do you find it burdensome? I would.
Michigan is an amazingly beautiful state. Look, we have incredible beaches. We have no sharks. We have no salt water. It's absolutely beautiful. You can ski in the winter. You can swim and surf in the summer. It's ridiculous that we have to live under this communist rule, but we're done with it. We're going to make sure that the next election is a good one.
Beautiful beaches. Okay, Tudor. All right, Tudor Dixon, everybody, host of the Tudor Dixon Show. All right, we're not done yet. We have more. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sun Belt. All these Arizonas and Georgias of the world. When we talk about the upcoming election, we talk about the Sun Belt. As a foregone conclusion, that's probably a little too strong, but be honest, I'm just as guilty of this as everyone else. We're banking on it. Well, yeah, we're going to win the Sun Belt. Then we'll just have to win one of the Rust Belt states. Have you said anything like that? I most definitely have, but why are we banking on it? We didn't win it last time. Let's ask Sean Spicer about that. Joining me now, my friend, host of the amazing Sean Spicer Show, which is blowing up all over the place. Sean, all right, we're banking on the Sun Belt. I'm banking on the Sun Belt. I've practically already banked those votes, but I don't know that that's smart. Should I be banking on the Sun Belt? And if so, why?
I think Arizona, yeah, it's for a bunch of reasons. Immigration, Trump's doing much better with Hispanic voters in Arizona. So I would put that one in the bank. Nevada, which I don't know, is that technically Sun Belt? But I don't feel good about Nevada. I had Robert Cahaley on my show. I think that the turnout among unions in Clark County, which is where a lot of that bulk is, that they know how to turn their people out. The machine there is real. It lives on after this, the ghost of Harry Reid, the former Senate Majority Leader. I'm telling you, I don't like that one. That's six electoral votes there, but we don't need that. Arizona, good. Georgia, I feel good about. And then here's where this gets tricky. A week ago, I had North Carolina pretty solidly. Trump has won it twice. They're a state that's used to splitting their votes for governor and president, so that's not a big issue in terms of that gubernatorial race being a drag. But what concerns me, Jesse, is 61% of the affected area from Hurricane Helene, that western part of North Carolina. So you got that blue dot of Asheville, and then everything around it is Trump country. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Everything you're worried about, food and water and clearing, you know, the road and maybe getting some shelter back. And these, not only are these citizens, but the governments, the local municipalities there, they don't know how they're going to vote. We still got time to do it, but that's a big chunk of vote that you have to worry about. And I don't mean to be crass when people are suffering, but it's a political reality. And that concerns me. Now, if we want to move up a little north, I feel very good. We've always said if he carries that Sun Belt area, right? Not even Nevada. If he can carry Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, then all he has to do is pick off one of the rust, you know, that sort of blue wall, right? I will tell you this right now. I made a prediction. We do a thing on my show every Wednesday called The Road to 270, where I go through every single state and the District of Columbia. We never forget DC. Don't worry, DC. We got you. And I have Trump at 306 electoral votes right now. I believe that all three blue wall states will fall to Trump. Michigan trending his way, Wisconsin trending his way, and Pennsylvania. And it's not like, hey, Sean, you're just guessing on this. The voter registration, if we start in Pennsylvania alone, has been cut by over half. So when Trump ran in 2016, they brought it down 300,000 to 2020. It is now down another 300,000 in terms of new registrations. The people who newly register to vote, these people, you don't go out and register to vote and then not vote, right? You may do it and then in two cycles not vote. So these are highly motivated people that have voted and voted, are registered and registered Republican. They've closed the gap in Lucerne County, in Fayette County. Republicans now outnumber Democrats for the first time in decades. So the trend in Pennsylvania, when you actually look at the data, not just, you know, a gut feeling or yard signs, is very good. In Michigan, same thing. You look at the private polling of Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, who's running against Mike Rogers there. She had a call, a private call with donors that got leaked, and she said, Kamala Harris is upside down in my polling. That's a problem. And we're seeing that same trend when you not look at one poll, but look at a series of polls. Michigan is moving in Donald Trump's direction. And by the way, Mike Rogers will win that race in the Senate. I feel very, very bullish on that. Wisconsin, I feel good about as well. But here is the biggest problem with Wisconsin. The voter data in Wisconsin is largely incomplete. What do I mean by that? They don't require voting history or age on there. So when you go look at Wisconsin and try to get a better handle on creating a model to figure out how people are voting, it's much, much harder. The nice thing is Donald Trump in particular has overperformed in Wisconsin the last two cycles. You saw Ron Johnson overperform there in 2022. So if we go into Wisconsin tied, and we're tied 30 days out, that's a win for Donald Trump. So I feel very good about the direction. Now, like anything else, this is like a weather report, Jesse. You know, you could check back in 3 days, and this is my shameless way of getting back on your show, is it's like the track of a storm. It can change. Right now, where things stand, that's where I think things come out. Now, in politics, it's like riding a wave. You want to be cresting with the wave as it goes into shore, not trying to hold it back. And Kamala Harris's team is holding that wave back, saying, please don't crash, please don't crash. Donald Trump is on the top of that wave, surfing in. He just, if he can keep this thing going, I think he wins with 306 electoral votes.
There's so much I want to get into with you there. I realize we are obviously limited on time, but we still have some
left. It's the Jesse Kelly show.
To me first about
it's the Jesse Kelly show.
That's right.
You just say how much time you want.
That's right. We're doing 5 hours tonight. No, we're not. Okay, I want you to talk to me about Nevada, Sean, because this state is always, as a political nerd, I'm not an expert, I'm a fan, right? As a political nerd, it's always fascinated me because it's always sold as this purple state. Oh, we might do this, we might do that. And I realize we may have broken off one here or there, but it's never really gone that way, Sean. You mentioned the unions, and every time I talk about Nevada, Harry Reid and the unions come up. What kind of unions are we talking about? What is Nevada?
So, look, Nevada's an interesting state. You got Clark County, where Las Vegas is, right? And that's the huge, huge chunk of the vote that comes out of there. Now, Harry Reid died. He had a massive machine there, but that's why I call it the ghost of Harry Reid, because the machine that he put in place lives on. And these guys get out there and they make sure that their union folks, they go around and you got to give them credit. It's a machine. They do this better than anybody. They make sure that all their members cast their ballot for who they're supposed to, wink, nod. And they do it right on election day so that they make sure that they get the right vote at the right time. Donald Trump is going to probably come closer than any Republican. I think he could pull it out on election day, potentially. Joe Lombardo, the current governor, he ran a pitch perfect race and won. So can it happen? Yeah. But I think that the union machine there, the culinary union, the workers at the casinos, those guys, they get how important it is to have a Democrat in office, right? Look at the longshoremen. Do you realize the deal what these guys just cut? They understood they had the best friend they're ever going to have in terms of labor. These guys wanted 71% increase in wages. They got 60-something. Who else is going to get a 60% increase? You know, name one other industry. They get how important it is to have a Democrat in the White House, a Democrat Secretary of Labor, et cetera. So that's why the union machine understands that it is imperative. It is a way of life for them to have a Democrat in the White House, and they will go to all lengths possible to deliver Clark County in particular for a Democrat.
All right, I want to wrap this up talking about Arizona. You're very confident in Arizona, and I'm glad you are. Can you explain Arizona for me? And I understand there may be conflicts of interest here, but Donald Trump looks like he's going to win Arizona. It looks like Carrie Lake is going to get curb stomped in Arizona. You want to tell me why?
One thing that's really interesting, if we can go back to Nevada, in the current models, Nevada has about 7.2 to 7.8% of the electorate that's third party. No other state looks like that. And there's a big question as to why. The Democrats sued to keep Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, off the ballot. There is a complete plot here to make sure that everything advantages Kamala Harris. So I just wanted to make sure that this is it's a weird dynamic that's happening in Nevada. But getting back to Arizona, Carrie Lake is down probably about 8 points in most public pollings to Congressman Ruben Gallego. When I asked Kahaly the same question that you did, and I said that, you know, it doesn't look good for her, he said, I think there's going to be a hidden Trump vote in Arizona that comes out for Carrie Lake as well. And he said he was cautious about that race, meaning I would have on any other day said there's no way that Carrie Lake, she's way outside the margin of error. Time is getting short. The Democrats went all in to get Gallego. I still come down on this. I think it's going to be hard for her, put it that way. That is one that would be a big surprise to me on election night because of the following, Jesse. It's not one poll or another. Look at the public polling in Arizona. It's never favored Carrie Lake. And when I say that, it's not one poll or two polls. You can't find a single poll where it shows a trend moving in her direction. Kahaly believes that there's a hidden voter in Arizona that will benefit her. I have a hard time believing that that's going to make up 8%.
Yeah, I do too. Fingers crossed. I just have a hard time believing it. Sean, thank you, my brother. He is Sean Spicer of The Sean Spicer Show. Obviously, I would gobble that up every day if I were you. All right, we'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Just a reminder, this is what we do in an election season because every election is hugely important. And obviously this one is hugely important. We read poll numbers. We focus on poll numbers and we focus on national polls. What's the latest poll say? What did Gallup say today? What's Rasmussen? What do the national polls say? But presidential elections are not about national polls. Honestly, they're not even really national elections. Presidential elections are about a few states. They're about the swing states. And so as we watch and try to figure out, is Trump going to do it? Is Kamala Harris going to do it? Pay attention to the specific state-by-state polls. We just spent an hour talking about it. You know what matters. Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia. Ohio, we know, is going to go red now. It used to be part of that Rust Belt swing thing. Florida used to be part of the Rust Belt, or used to be part of a swing state thing. Now they're solidly red. So you can discount those, but it's still Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. These are the states that matter. And there's always a surprise state you're kind of not supposed to win. You remember we talked to Sean Spicer, and Sean was talking about Nevada. There are some states you can watch that are kind of eye-popping states. I remember when Trump won the first election in 2016, we were sitting there watching. I was watching just like you were watching, watching as all the results come in. And he started snapping off state after state after state, states that we weren't used to winning at the time. And we were watching it and thinking to ourselves, wait a minute, I think he's going to win. That's what we'll watch for on election night. But from now until then, it's the swing states we need to focus on. It's the swing states that matter. It's the swing states we need to help out in, whether or not you reside in them. But that needs to be our focus. All right, we'll do it again.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.